Our first lesson for today is from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings in chapter 17. This actually takes place about 1,000 years before Jesus, in the time of the divided kingdom of Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And it is a story about Elijah, or as his name is in Hebrew, Eliyahweh, right? Which means, if I remember, my Lord is God. So attend to these words. Oh, I should mention, sorry. The one other thing I should mention is that this is just after Elijah has said to King Ahab that there will be a drought in the land. That's actually important for understanding this story. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Our second lesson for today is from the New Testament Gospel of Mark in the 12th chapter. This is after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem in the book of Mark, what we know as Palm Sunday. And it is after he throws the money changers out of the temple, and I think it's he has been teaching parables, and then he goes on to say this. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury, and he watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people came and put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she has, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, in seminary, our homiletics professor had us read portions of scripture and read them again. And she had us do this to see what words stuck out. Now, I have to say, I actually resented this assignment because I thought, we've all read these stories. Do we really need to read them yet again? I mean, what are we going to pick up that's new? But this was a very good, however simple, a very good assignment, at least for me. So now I'm passing the assignment to you. So I'm sorry, this will require a little bit of participation on your part. So if you all could turn to page, or whomever wants to participate, if you could turn and silently read page 300, our scripture. So that's 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. How are we doing? Have we read? Oh, okay. I think everyone's done except you, Elizabeth.
Okay.
I know you're a minister and you could just go there forever, but would anyone be willing and brave enough to share either a word or a phrase that grabbed your attention? Yeah.
She said she's going to go home and fix this meal so that they can die.
Right. It's hard to miss that one. To be punched in the face by that one. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah.
Towards the beginning, that commanded a widow there to feed you. Seems like an odd thing.
And indeed, widows were looked down upon like children. They were the lowest of the low, so was asking you to go to a pauper to get fed. So it's a great observation. Anyone else? Elizabeth is my plant, just to let you know.
No. I noticed the word that he asks for a morsel, which is just like such a tiny amount of food that he asks for.
Yeah, we'll touch on that.
That was not planted.
No, it was not. All right. Anyone else? Oh, yes.
All right, so he's just like a guy, right? He says, bring me some water. And then he says, oh, while you're at it, can you just bring me a sandwich, too?
Yeah. Pardon? No, that's good. There's no wrong answer. This is your response to Scripture. So get that out of your head. All right. Thank you for playing that game with me. So now I'm going to confess my first reading. My first reading was Elijah goes to a widow, someone in need, and he asks for these things all with the knowledge that that God's going to hopefully supply that, or that Elijah is a figure of of change himself, that he's going to present something that is really going to help this widow and child. But then I read it again, and I noticed that the agent of change was not Elijah at all. What stood out to me especially was the end of verse 9. Speaking to Elijah, God said, quote, "For I have commanded a widow there to feed you." In other words, it is the widow, not Elijah, whom God has empowered to present God's feeding and to feed them all. The widow, Elijah, and her son. Elijah, what he brings is God's message, but he doesn't bring the gift of food itself. That was entirely by the grace of God. The other thing that struck me on my second read was that God did not promise an abundance, right? God said, "I'll provide you meal and I'll provide you oil." So it's not exactly Thanksgiving here. I mean, those things are barely things that might keep you alive. And this is consistent. This piecemeal giving is consistent with what had just happened prior. We did not eat it. But that's when Elisha went out to a wadi, a small body of water, and God had ravens bring every morning and every night a piece of bread and a piece of meat. So creating entire dependence upon God. Excuse me. I couldn't get my iPad to work, and so this is what happens to my generation when you have to deal with paper. This brought me to the idea of the church more generally. Just as I initially read Elijah as bringing these things, as the agent of change, I realized that it's the smallest piece of the puzzle. It's the smallest character there. It was the widow. And I think that really says something about where the church is right now as a whole. We're constantly rushing to change. We're asked to feed the poor. We're asked to clothe people. We're asked to heal the sick. And those are all great and noble things. But there's something that we miss there, and that I initially missed in the scripture, that my first scripture reading of that text, which was Elijah is third in line, right? He's the representative, if you will, of the church of God, the prophet. And we see first the gift given to the widow, and then we see only then that Elijah steps in. So it's God, it's the widow, it's Elijah. So the big guy is put last. Similarly, the church as a whole, we believe these things that it's commanded of us to do all of these things when perhaps we don't have the energy to do them. Perhaps the church gets worn out sometimes. And, you know, Paul pushes this pretty hard, that God will empower us to do these things. But what we miss when we ask this of ourselves exclusively, is the grace. God steps in while we're doing those things, precisely because we can't do them ourselves, precisely because Elijah couldn't accomplish this himself, God steps in and says, I'll do that for you. In the end, I'll do that for you. But doesn't it feel pretty piecemeal? Doesn't it feel like what happened to the widow? Just a morsel. What happened to Elijah? Just a morsel at a time. And that can feel pretty difficult for the church. So my homily is pretty short today. My question to us and to the church as a whole is, can we unburden ourselves just a little bit? Can we allow God's grace to be felt a little more? If so, if we can do that, we can be a little more like Elijah, a little more humble, but also dependent upon what God is going to ask of us next. It's really a journey. It's a journey that God promises that God will be with us on, but it might not always feel that way. But let's give ourselves a break. Let's be a little easier on ourselves and a little more dependent upon God. Amen.